Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What are you waiting for? All of us are waiting for something, so how about you? What are you waiting for? I hope none of you are already waiting for the end of the sermon. Maybe some of you are waiting for donuts after worship today, while others are waiting for that afternoon nap. We wait for little things throughout each and every day of our lives, but we also wait for big things. We wait to get a driver's license or graduate from school. We wait to get married and start a family of our own. We wait for retirement. We wait for special anniversaries or milestones in life, family gatherings and celebrations. What is it that you're waiting for? And while all of our waiting is a little bit different, there are sometimes certain things that we all wait for in common. For example, we're all waiting for the holidays. A week and a half until Thanksgiving, a month later we'll celebrate Christmas. We're waiting for those holidays, maybe for different reasons. Some are waiting simply because it's a day off of school or it's some extra time off of work. Others are waiting for the food, and your mouth is already starting to water as you think about pumpkin pie and turkey and stuffing and homemade noodles. Maybe you're waiting for the family. See how much the grandkids have grown. They're gathering together and playing games and sharing stories. Your waiting might be a little different, but we're all together waiting for the holidays. What is it that you're waiting for? You see, because as the people of God, we are a people in waiting. It's been true for God's people throughout the centuries. His Old Testament people, for example, were a people in waiting. One example of that happened on Yom Kippur, translated in English as the Day of Atonement. It was a day that was maybe similar in ways to our holidays. People would travel from long distances to celebrate this special day. They looked forward to being together with family and reconnecting with friends. There was feasts and special foods to be eaten. And there was a religious celebration that many, probably not all, participated in. And it was there at that religious celebration that they were a people in waiting. They would gather together in the tabernacle and later in the temple. And they would wait. They would wait for the high priest to emerge from behind the curtain. You see, the high priest was the one who represented all of the people in this religious ceremony. And before he could begin his duties, he had to prepare himself. He had to make himself holy so that he could represent the people. He did that by washing himself, by putting on special clothes, and then by making a sacrifice. For the high priest, it was the sacrifice of a bull. After the sacrifice was made, he gathered up some of the blood, and he brought it to the most holy place called the Holy of Holies. It was the inner room in the temple, covered by a grand curtain, and only the high priest could ever enter, and only once a year on the Day of Atonement. And he would take that blood from the bull, and he would go behind that curtain. And as he went back there, the people waited. They waited for him to emerge. Back there behind the curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. It was that special box that they carried around that was the very presence of God. You might remember, God told them, when you want to meet with me, I will be seated there on the Ark of the Covenant. And so the high priest was literally going back into the presence of God. While he was back there with the blood of the bull, he lit some incense. And I wonder if as that incense began to pour out the bottom of the curtain and to seep through the cracks, if it became a symbol for God's people, of the glory of God that was there in that place. And they waited for the high priest to emerge. Finally, he did. Now, having been cleansed and purified, he could cleanse the people of God. And he did that with another sacrifice, this time a goat. He chose between two goats. That goat was sacrificed. And the blood of the goat was taken by the high priest. And for a second time, he entered that most holy place. And the people waited. This time, while he was back there, he took the blood of the goat and spread it across the altar. All as a sacrifice for the people. So that now, this time, when he emerged from behind the curtain, he came up to that second goat. He laid his hands on the second goat and he made confession. Confession of the sins of the people. It was as if all the sins of the people were placed upon that goat. And now that goat has become unclean with sin, was cast out of the community and into the wilderness. It was called the scapegoat. That's where that term comes from. That goat that was perfectly innocent, that had done no wrong, but all of the guilt of the people was placed upon it, and it was punished because of it. A scapegoat. But what it meant for the waiting people of God was that now their sins were forgiven. They were cleansed, and they were made to be holy. And they would wait then an entire year for that same sacrifice, that same day of atonement, and waiting for God to do his work. So why did God ask his people to wait like that? And why don't we do that same celebration today? Well, we get a glimpse of why in our reading from the book of Hebrews. Once again, verse 24. It says, Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. A copy. You see, these verses here in Hebrews were talking about the Day of Atonement. And it says there that the Day of Atonement was really just a copy. And think of a copy for a second. A copy or a model is not the original thing, is it? Now, the original thing exists, it's real, it's there, but the copy is not the original. And so the copy is not quite the same. If it's a scale model, perhaps it's smaller. Some models maybe are not the same quality of workmanship, or maybe they lack some of the detail of the original. But that copy, that model, gives you at least some picture of what the original is really like. And the author of Hebrews is telling us that the Day of Atonement was a copy. And what happened there was a model of something greater that was coming. It says there that this was a copy. This man-made sanctuary was a copy of the true one. That the tabernacle, the temple, the sanctuary where this celebration took place was a copy of heaven. And so, as God's people waited, what they were really waiting for is for the great high priest, they called him Messiah, to step out from behind the curtain of heaven and into this world. And they waited. Not just a few moments for the high priest to come out from behind a curtain. They waited. Not just a year for the next day of atonement to come around. They waited not just a generation, but they waited for hundreds of years for this true high priest, this Messiah, to step out of the sanctuary of heaven. In fact, they waited so long that by the time he stepped out, they didn't even recognize him. Born as a baby, placed in a manger, he was not hailed as the long-awaited Messiah, but he was forgotten by most. Nevertheless, this Jesus was the high priest they had been waiting for. And as we said, though, copies are not the exact same as the original. It just gives us a snapshot and a picture. That's certainly the case with Jesus. Remember, in the Day of Atonement over here, the high priest had to make atonement for his own sins, right? He had to cleanse himself before he could act for the people. But not so with Jesus. Jesus did not have to prepare himself. He did not have to make himself holy because he was holy. And he lived that holy, perfect life, proving to the entire world that he was the holy Son of God. In all that he said, and in all that he did, perfect and holy. And it was then, as the perfect high priest, that he was able to make sacrifice for the rest of the people. Again, his sacrifice was different. And Hebrews makes that clear. He says he didn't come to sacrifice over and over and over again, but to make one final sacrifice. Once for all, Hebrews tells us. And he did that not by sacrificing a bull or a goat, but by sacrificing his very own life on a cross. A sacrifice once for all. So that when the Messiah and Savior stepped into this world, sacrificed his life, it meant forgiveness for all people, for you and for me. It meant an end to the Day of Atonement and Yom Kippur. It meant an end to the sacrifices. Because now we have forgiveness from a cross. Now we don't have to offer endless sacrifices to appease an angry God. But instead, by grace, our high priest has made the ultimate sacrifice for us so that we can be his people, his forgiven children. Remember, on the Day of Atonement, there was twice that the people were waiting for the high priest to come out from behind the curtain. And so it is with the great high priest. He came once into this world, born as a baby, sacrificed on a cross. But remember, he left. 40 days after his resurrection, he was ascended right before the eyes of his disciples. And do you remember what the angel said? He will return. He'll come back. and the people of God are still waiting. The great high priest has re-entered the sanctuary of heaven. He has gone there to prepare a place for you and for me, but he has promised he will return. That one day he is going to make his appearance again, stepping through the curtain and back into this world. But Hebrews tells us this time it will be a little different. Verse 28 says, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Waiting for him. That's us. And it says there, he's coming to bring salvation. He's coming to save. To save from death. To save from the brokenness of this world. To save from hurts and torments. To save from everlasting condemnation. He's coming to save. And in the meantime, we wait. Like God's people of old, we wait for our high priest to step back into this world, for the trumpet to sound. And as you wait, what is it that you're waiting for? Maybe we're all a little different. Maybe some of you are especially waiting for the healing that he brings. You're tired of a body that's broken, that gets sick, and that does not work right, and you are waiting for the day when you will leap like deer with a perfect body. What are you waiting for? Maybe some of you are waiting for the resurrection of the dead. You deeply, deeply miss your loved ones who have gone before you. You miss them dearly. And you can't wait for that reunion of the saints from the past. Death is defeated and resurrection returns. What are you waiting for? Maybe you're tired of turning on the TV and hearing about the latest shooting at a bar or a synagogue, or worried about sending kids to school. Is it going to be safe? And you're waiting for peace to rule. You're waiting for that day when swords will be beaten into plowshares and they will study for war no more. And there will be perfect peace between nations and between all peoples. What are you waiting for? All of that is coming one day when the high priest returns. But until then, we are a people who are waiting. Waiting for our high priest to step out from behind that curtain and to save. In Jesus' name, amen.